Hi, Sim.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, God, we've already gone over this. You've been hanging out with me for like 45 minutes.
I know, this feels very awkward.
Actually, it's the how are yous are such a formality. Sometimes we do that with our, like, our callers, too.
And I never say how are you to you when I see you.
No. Well, because it's like, it's such a non-question.
I know. How you are. I know exactly how you are. You're tired and annoyed.
No, that's not true. You complimented me today.
I did. Today you actually are.
But I actually think that I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
About 90% of the time. It's just for some reason today you weren't thinking about yourself. So you complimented me. Honest.
Oh my God. Well, I really need this right now.
Oh boy, I know. I'm sorry.
I love it. You know what I should say, by the way? It's interesting that you brought that up because I got, we are going to get to feedback in a second.
Yeah.
But I did get a letter, and this is, I wasn't planning on addressing this, but I did get a letter saying that she was a little upset that she doesn't, I guess maybe she didn't listen to all of the episodes, but I don't think she understands our dynamic and how when you give me a hard time.
I do think I get abusive though.
Do you?
Yeah, I do towards you. Yeah.
But you know that I take it with complete love, and that's why I want to tell the listeners out there who believe that I'm being abused. I'm not. I adore you. You adore me.
I adore you. And no. I think that what I do, which is not fully, I'm not always aware of it because it's a knee-jerk reaction a little bit. Sometimes I throw you under the bus for the greater cause.
And I'm happy to be thrown under the bus because I know it makes for good content. And people, I think most people seem to like you ribbing me.
Like when
because it's a brother sister thing.
You know, sometimes what I want to say to a guest or a caller, like, this is what I really fucking think right now. Instead, I just go, fuck you, Sim.
Right.
It's just a release. And I really appreciate you in general and always. And I love you. But I appreciate you absorbing some of my
Well, I think that you need that release. That's why I have to sit next to you, because if I'm not here, I don't know what the hell you're gonna do.
I'm painting my toenails right now.
So while you paint your toenails, I wanna try something different with feedback today. So rather than have me read it, we actually got some of our listeners to leave a message. So they're going to tell us. So first of all,
was that your idea?
Yeah,
that was great.
Remember Caden from Nina's episode, Nina Dobrev's episode last week. So Caden from Utah, 27, he's been with his wife for 2.5 years, married for 6 months, and in that time he's noticed a drop in his friends. One of his friends told him that they were worried about him. And that his wife was starting to burn bridges, and he wanted to know if he should focus on his marriage or if he should be able to have marriage and friends. And then Nina advised him that if he has to change his personality when he's with her, then he's in the wrong relationship. And your position was that friendships change as you get older and that people serve different purposes and that it's okay to let some people go. And that you also emphasize that a marriage should take priority. So if he has to choose between his friends and his marriage, he should definitely choose his marriage. Do you remember giving that advice? Okay.
Was it correct? I don't know.
Well, let's hear from some of our listeners.
Hi, this is Angela. Just listening to the advice given to Caden on the Nina Dobrev episode, I feel like there was a huge issue that was overlooked. As someone who has been married for 20 years, I have been that wife in my marriage and in Caden's position in my marriage as well. But it is clear to me that the wife is jealous of sharing the attention with the friends, which makes me wonder if she doesn't have her own set of friends and maybe that's what the struggle is. Anna suggested to be more spontaneous, which is excellent. It's always a balance with a spouse and friends. Communication is key to this. Spouse first, then friends. But do not cut your friends out completely because friendships are super important. Something that's helped me over the years is having a friend day, where she goes with her friends to do something and he goes and does something with his friends, but also date night, and you can incorporate your couple friends with this. Maybe it's just my own personal experience, but there's jealousy with both the wife and friends. Something's off balance. Communicate with your wife and be open and honest about the struggles you are feeling. And then you both can come to a solution together. P.S. I love what Nina said about the ring setting and diamond. I know she wasn't confident in that advice, but it was great. You all are amazing. Thank you so much for a podcast that brings me joy weekly. Love you guys.
Thanks,
that
Angela.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Sim, what a good idea. I love you. Angela, thank you so much. Thank you for your brilliant advice, and thank you for taking the time to record your voice. And I think you said incredibly wise things. And please, dear listeners, please continue to give us feedback.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, guys.
There's a baby in the room, which I'm very excited about. I love babies.
Isn't this baby sweet?
Dobo dobo. Dobo do. He's on his tummy.
He's doing tummy time now. Oh, he's not that strong. He's definitely my baby.
Hey, don't you throw the baby under the bus. Come on.
What is his name again?
Baby.
Evan.
Evan. Oh, sweetie. It's like free therapy when you hold a baby. So I'll just be grabbing your child.
I love you. You are a nurturer. Are you a nurturer? Like, would you just your friends describe you as a nurturer?
Well, I think have you heard of the five love languages?
Yeah.
There's like words, affection, quality time, acts of service, and gift giving.
Yeah.
And then you typically have one that's, words are my big love language. Like, I like to encourage. And so, and also words mean... words like mean something to me. So like in Hollywood, words don't mean anything.
Right.
So I've had to learn like, oh, that doesn't mean anything because I take words very seriously.
Do you think that was because of the way like your parents like communicated?
Maybe. I think a lot of it's a personality. It's like my wife is acts of service. So like I actually have, it's like you have to learn a different language. So I have to learn her language. And words are not her thing. So we have to kind of learn each other's languages in order to love each other the best, if that makes sense. So like if I do the dishes, that's such an act of love from her. Whereas if somebody does the dishes, I it kind of doesn't faze me. But if somebody tells me, oh, you're great, I'm like, oh, God.
I might amazing. Be words too.
Yeah, I'm big on words.
Well, I like compliments. And yeah. I'm also, I think I'm pretty good except for telling Sim to,
you know. To what? You can say it. It's fine.
I frequently tell, but it's out of love.
Yeah, it's
you know
in a loving
what I'm
way.
Saying. When I say fuck you, Sim, I am saying I love you, Sim.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's different kinds of fuck yous. There's a loving fuck you, and then there's a.
Will you give me a loving fuck you?
Sure. Oh, fuck you. No, that's actually a mean fuck you.
No.
That sounds like no, fuck you. A loving fuck would be more like, oh, fuck you. But a mean fuck you would be like, fuck you.
No. But I liked where you were going with the first one that was like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
It like there be. Was the,
oh,
you know,
set. Oh, fuck you. Oh, fuck you.
Tony.
It's on the border.
But it's hard because I don't feel a lot. Like it takes a lot to get me worked up to a place of where I would actually say, like I don't get road rage. I don't.
Yeah.
In fact, I do, like I get delight out of. And this is me boasting, like I sometimes, and you know, as I say this, I've only done it maybe three times, probably only twice, where I've called like, how am I driving, 1-800 numbers, and said that they were an amazing driver, just to be like,
sure,
this will be unexpected.
Sure.
And maybe it'll make...
such a kind thing to do.
Thank you.
That's a really kind
thing to
do. Thank
you, Tony. That's exactly the response I wanted.
Good. You got it. Because that is a kind thing to do. That's a genuinely kind... I've never done that.
Well, and it's actually a pain in the ass. Because you're endangering people's lives as you're dialing the 1-800 number. And then
how would
like,
you know, like if you saw a truck, how would you know they're doing a good job?
1-1-1. Oh, I just made something up.
Oh, I see. Okay,
like they stopped appropriately. Oh, I just want like just
nice.
Want you to know that
that's nice.
They're doing a great job, and because the delight for me is it's out of arrogance. Well, I like the idea of making somebody's day in a surprising way. But I also like somebody the other person on the line being like, this has never happened before.
Yeah.
Like. I don't know.
Were you a prank caller at all as a kid? Like, do you like to kind of take that risk?
My friends did, but I didn't like
it. See, I was the same way. I'm entirely too codependent to do something like that.
Yeah.
Or even those shows where they prank people and they go up to them and say,
I couldn't do it.
There's no way. I would be the guy that'd be like, just so you know, there's a camera on you, but you never heard it from me.
Don't you think it's interesting, though, that people sort of assume that actors want to be pranksters or tricks? Like, I'm the worst poker player.
No.
I can't.
Yeah. I feel too bad. I feel way too bad.
Yeah. For this promotional thing for Scary Movie 3, I had to go to Madame Tussauds in London.
Yeah.
And they dressed me up as like a dead person, ghoul or whatever, that comes out and scares people. I was so bad at it. I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad about myself because I was so bad at it. Sure. People would just stare at me and what are you doing?
Do you also not like, I don't like haunted houses. I don't like people jumping out at me. That freaks me out. However, I do like watching videos of people going through haunted houses. So it's like, I don't like to do the scaring, but
Joni Hill, safe zone.
But it's like, I don't like doing it, but those Ellen things where they send somebody through that writer through the haunted house, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Because I guess when people enjoy it, it's fun to see people enjoying it.
If it's in a fun way.
They're like, ah.
I mean, I don't want somebody in a fetal position, but I do like that reaction.
But I think, like, for me, the immediate, and I think for a lot of people, I don't know, the immediate, like, when you're surprised, the immediate reaction is anger because it comes from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Or no, it's like fear then anger immediately. It's like right back to back.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I feel that way.
And that's why, like, if you...
Welcome to my dressing
room. When Loy was... My daughter's Loy, when she was little, if she accidentally stepped into the street or something, there is that immediate anger. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because you're terrified, you know, and then you give them a hug and all that stuff.
So I heard you talk about a while back the idea of posture in acting.
Uh-huh. You mean physical posture or posturing...
Physical posture.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With Gary in Veep.
Yeah.
And because you're so fucking brilliant.
Oh, it comes from a lot of pain. But go ahead.
But I remember you talking about how you wanted to be specific with it. Hmm. And that's something that, I mean, am I incorrect? Wait, do you remember this?
No, I do.
You sort of roll your shoulders over.
And posture has always been something I have had to work on. Like, I can get kind of hunched, but the thing about Gary is he's so emasculated and he so feels less than Selena, who's played by Julia. If he could, he would like...
That was a pretty good moment. Was that on purpose? That was really good. Of course. No. That was fucking quick.
Good.
Fuck you.
Good. If he could, he would have cut 2 feet off his legs because he hates being above her. The thought of him being above her is just his nightmare. So he does so hunch because he's just trying to get lower than her, you know?
Well,
does that make sense?
Oh, of course. And I also thought about like the idea of shoes because for me, I know but if I'm not wearing the right shoes, I almost feel like I can't rehearse as my character, because it does affect your posture.
It affects
like your how this character views themselves in the world.
Totally.
And so like when I was doing the House Bunny, like I had to be in the stripper heels, which felt like a combination of insecurity and vulnerability and power.
Yeah.
All at the same time. When I play Christy here on Mom, it's like I wear tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And it's like I have to, it to me, it feels annoyingly actorly fundamental.
Yeah.
But
I would think that would, I mean, especially with House Bunny, that would be a huge help to you. I mean, and you also have to deal with them.
Yeah. And it was like this teetering, it was like towering, but like, is she going to fall?
Yeah.
Or at least,
yeah.
Am I going to fall?
Yeah.
Maybe. But
Gary always had his bag too, so I always wanted to have the bag with rehearsal and stuff.
And so when I heard you say that, like, it struck me as like, oh, this is like one of those actory things that I can completely relate to.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like how you inform everything. And here's a minutia question.
Ask away. I love it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So So I'm obviously like a fucking huge fan of Veep, and I'm so envious of like of just the like the like being for with the like you're the hero, but the idea of like being protagonists that are fucked up, and for whatever reason you root for them because there is like the nuance or the development of character in each character or whatever. But we were rewatching some episodes, and there's an episode where you put a muscle rub on your shoulder because of the bag, and you went into the bathroom and you catch Ken masturbating, essentially, right? Is that right? Not Ken.
Was it Matt Walsh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike.
Mike, fuck. No, they all have one silly. Yeah, except for Gary.
Is that when I'm drying off my shirt?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So then you come back out in the next scene, and your shirt is ironed.
Okay.
It doesn't look ironed, but it doesn't look rumpled. And I was just wondering, was that a conscious choice, or am I overthinking?
No, you're not overthinking at all. The sad thing is I don't remember the episode at all.
Okay, what about this one?
That's what scares me. Okay. Like when you say that, that's
I know.
When people, and I don't know if you have this experience too. Yeah. When people come up to you and say, oh, and House Bunny and Scary Movie, when people come up to me about Arrested, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I say, please keep talking because that sounds hilarious.
Yep.
Just to be reminded about jokes.
Oh, my dad will call me up and he'll just like leave a voice message saying a line that I said last week on Mom.
Yeah.
And I'll have no idea what he's referring to. Like,
and it actually scares me because am I just not digesting anything and just, I don't know.
I don't know, but I think that we have to, I want to get to another thing, but you might not remember this either. But I wonder if, Tony, if like our brains have to dismiss because of the concentration that it takes in that certain moment of like being active or whatever.
And their scripts, I mean, TVs shoot so fast, you kind of have to. Because, and we would also, actually, we typically got pages the day of. Most of our pages came the day of.
Okay, so Alice and Janney told me, and I don't know if this is true. Feel free to throw her under the bus.
No, I would never do that.
But she said that when she came to do Veep...
By the way, that baby is like a sound machine. It's just comforting. So thank you.
I was getting nervous.
No, are you kidding?
Yeah, I was like, this is
let
so
the baby talk as much
unprofessional
as he wants.
Have you always been...
I love babies. I just think they're... And I love my daughter too, who's 13. But what if I was like, I just like the baby stage. No, there's just something so... Also, when they get to be two, they're not giving you any bullshit. Like, they'll just stare at you. If you say a joke or if you make a face, they'll just look at you like they're not going to play your game just to be nice.
What's been the favorite age of your daughter?
I genuinely, this sounds like a cheesy answer, but it's each year is different. It's just like now she's in seventh grade, so it's all new stuff.
I bet she's really smart and funny.
She's really funny and smart.
And you've given her the gift of clearly being such a loving dad.
She is a sweetheart. And she's got a really quick sense of humor. I've said this over and over, and I apologize if you've heard this, but I remember one time I said, hey, sweetie, when you get a chance, I need you to clean your room. And she goes, yeah, I don't think I'm going to get a chance. And I was like, okay, points for writing, but you're going to get a chance because I'm not going to find a chance to feed you if you don't.
But then you're like, oh, here's some mac and cheese.
Exactly.
And
here's a 20.
Anna, you were talking about Alice and Janney before my son started
writing
his own soundtrack.
Which I love.
No, but she was saying too, when I was asking about you, that's the kind of research I do. I gossip. I ask.
The best way.
My co-stars here at Mom. But she was saying that when she came into Veep, that you guys... In her recollection, she said she also had like a food, like she had some, like she was really, really ill. But she, that you guys did the table read and then the scripts were taken away. Am I betraying something with her if I say that?
No, you're not betraying at all. So what they would do,
is this was years ago when, cause the writers switched. So, Armando, and I have huge respect. He wanted to spend some more time with his family who created the show. So they went to London. We got a whole new set of writers.
Dick. spend time with family. Fuck you.
That's a nice fuck you.
It is. It's a respectful.
It's a respectful because
I'm jealous.
Just so Armando knows.
That was like, yeah, you know.
Oh my gosh. I'm getting your fuck yous down. So we would get a script and then they would just let us see if it gelled and just kind of play if anything else came up. So if any other ideas came up. And so like while finding the rhythm of what they've written, it was just kind of seeing like, hey, if you guys have any ideas, you know, speak up.
Did you,
which was daunting at first because you're like, I don't know if I can match whatever you're putting on the paper, but it's almost like he always said, you know, typical improv thing, never try to be funny. Just like, you know, just let's see if you guys are, if there's something there.
And you're such a brilliant actor and I can't look at you when I say that because it feels like if I look at you, it will feel insincere, but
that's very, very nice.
But I mean,
my therapist would tell you many other stories.
But you are a brilliant reactor, which I think is I don't know. It's a generosity.
You're
very, very generous actor.
That's sweet. I receive that and I appreciate that. It also had to do with that Gary was called a bitchy mime in one of the episodes. And he never could speak up about policy or anything. Selena never let him speak up. So his facial expressions became his vocabulary.
Yeah.
And that's the way he could express himself.
And yes, I feel like I...
What is that?
Oh, it's really good. Do you want to try it?
Is it, what is it? A beer?
It's like a canned,
a canned mixed drink, right?
Yeah.
Really?
You
what's the liquor? What's the poison?
It's rye.
Rye? Okay. Can I ask a really stupid question?
It's the hipster drink.
What is rye? Oh, rye is whiskey. Okay. I just read it. I get really confused with whiskey and bourbon.
Gary, you either try.
Okay. Yeah.
Or you talk about it, but whatever you do.
That's nice.
Do you want one?
No, because I'm trying to back off on sugar, but that's very, very good.
All right.
God, that's really good, actually. But can someone describe me the difference between whiskey and bourbon and all that? Just like quickly, you know?
I should know this.
It all has the wonderful numbing quality. And okay.
Got it.
Enjoy it.
Got it.
No, we should do a podcast on
that. I think bourbon is just Kentucky.
Gary, if you came back,
maybe.
Uh-huh.
Did
I don't
you
know.
Research?
Yeah.
And would you give us like a lesson?
Sure.
Okay,
actually, you're absolutely. It's Kentucky, and then there's another place that does
Tennessee does whiskey.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. That's Jack Daniels. Yeah. I have no idea.
I don't know. And there's peat up in Scotland.
Yeah, peat.
Yeah, they like harvest peat. Or something.
Oh gosh,
that's how they make.
You don't want me doing the research. I'd be just constantly like, what? Anyway.
No, we need you to do. Wait, but Gary is a. I mean,
Gary is a researcher, but he's a researcher of kind of dumb facts. You know, he's like, by the way. You're talking to a woman who wore pink 2 days in a row last week, you know, or something like that.
Did it feel like, I loved it that they gave you a love interest that was outside of Selena.
Yeah.
But did that feel like,
Jessica St. Clair.
And who was she was great. But I was always so nervous because it was clear that, you know, in a testament to your talent, of course, but that that your character like
had mom issues. Big
so
mom
it felt
issues.
Like how do I
totally he had big intimacy. There was a lot going on in that body. But he also, if you noticed, his girlfriend was also his mother. Like, because he always had these very, very dominating.
Yes, she was
powerful,
very powerful. Yes, yeah, yeah.
And that's where he was comfortable. Yeah. He kind of attaches himself to strong.
But ultimately, like, mommy dearest. That's,
and he just
was
wants another mom.
Powerful.
Oh, that would be his dream. If Joan Crawford came back and coddled him, he would be in heaven.
it's such a testament to your talent, though.
Oh, that's very nice.
And, like, I think the most brilliant scene maybe I've ever seen is that the bathroom scene.
Oh, yeah, when we were losing our minds. And you'll appreciate this. When you have to go for a long period of time laughing or crying.
Yes, yes. How did you, how did you guys do it?
You get to the place where you either get hysterical or it just starts hurting because you don't, and then you get in your head and you're like, have I gotten to the place where it's looking fake? Because you're pushing because you have to do it for so long. But we did hit a rhythm where it started to feel natural and then it kind of ebbed and flows. And that's where the beauty of editing came in. I think they took out the places that looked fake.
It looked, have you seen this?
Sam. By the way, the reason my wife and baby are here is because she's a huge fan. I don't know.
Amy.
And I've never seen Veep and I really want to see it. I'm a Arrested Development fan.
Do you know this? You know the scene I'm talking about? And when Selena and Gary
She tells me she's going to be president and then my nose starts bleeding and...
Do you remember this? Then, oh my God, it's so good. It's so delicious because they just both, like, it goes from this moment of like tension and then they start like...
And then she starts serving me.
Sorry, I don't mean to refer to you as though you're not here.
No, I love it.
That's how invested I am. This is off. I love it.
Have you ever met Julia?
Yeah, but just at like the stupid things.
She's
you know?
The best. And she's talking about giving and gracious. And I mean, we've both worked with
her. I met her at the Emmys and she didn't give me her Emmy.
Oh, that's weird.
No, no.
She's given me all of hers. But she is really cool and grounded and normal. And
like fucking groundbreaking too. Mm-hmm. Like to be a fucking beautiful woman. Sorry, I don't mean to say fucking so much, but it is my emphasis word.
Hey, I know the range. I don't take them seriously. They're not mean fucking.
Right.
Right.
Thank you. It's like, it's just, I don't know what to...
Well, it's a powerful word. It's a power. People forget it's a powerful word and it does say something and it gives emphasis
what
to something.
What offends you?
People talking too loud on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations that I don't want to hear. People sharing really intimate details in a table right next to me at a restaurant.
Like what?
Just like just having very loud conversations about very personal things.
Should we do it? Should we try to improv something? Like what?
Do you know, like, you know, because in restaurants, you know, they sit you very close sometimes.
Okay, I'm imagining you at Mozza.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Wait, which one, the pizzeria or the osteria?
The osteria.
That's the fancy side.
Yeah.
They're not that close, but you know, like in New York,
I got seated close. So I guess I'm not. If
you go to New York though, and you get small spaces, and they put you really close to people,
okay.
And the thing
and it's
is,
like, so yeah, sorry.
But it's like if you sitting. Does anybody else, like if you're sitting next, and all of a sudden they just start talking really loud about how I don't know how they're awful their marriages or their child or something, and I'm like, if you want the whole restaurant to hear, I hear you, but if you want just the person in front of you to hear, you need to bring your voice down.
Tony,
it's a voice modulation issue.
Tony. I'm imagining it's like somebody having an affair, like
totally. It could be that, and I mean, I tend to be a little bit of a what's the thing where you want to rescue, and so it's very hard not to be like, do you want a solution? Because I've had some therapy, and here's some tools. You know, you kind of want to chime in, and that's probably that is my responsibility to not do that.
Wait, so
but I have chimed in before.
I need to know more about this.
Well, I do specifically remember someone talking about their anxiety and stuff and how they were talking very, very loud. And before I left, I just couldn't help but going.
I am so anxious.
I just couldn't help but before I left saying.
That sounds horrible.
Here's like four tools for your anxiety that have really helped. That have really helped me.
Xanax?
Like, no. One is saying, whenever you find yourself, what if? And you say, not now. Or these are what I told them. Or if you feel really anxious, you start feeling things like you're like a couch around you just to kind of ground you. You have to wake yourself up 100 times a day to where you are because it's very easy to be somewhere else in your head.
Anyways. You are healthy. You know what I was thinking?
But that was, I shouldn't have said that. That's not my business.
I was thinking about the bug that crawls into the thing in Wrath of Khan, right? Like,
oh.
Like into your brain, right?
Oh,
like,
I didn't see that.
That feels, oh my God. Oh, God.
But, you know, now I feel bad. I'm going to watch it. But that's not a bad fuck you, so I'm not taking it seriously.
No, don't. But Sim is taking an eyes open nap right now.
Is it Star Trek? Oh, no,
it's a Star Trek thing, and the bad guy puts like a worm, a brain eating worm, into somebody's head. Ooh, and
that also sounds like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Did you guys see the Black Mirror where they become an insect in the spaceship?
What season was that?
I think it was the first one. It was petrifying. Anyways, I can't watch really heavy stuff because there's a part of me that's like, hey, guys, guess what, guys? Homeland is happening somewhere in our world. That's not entertaining for me to watch. Great show, but it's hard for me to watch sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and also, yeah, I have a lot of feelings about that. About not Homeland, but
great show,
watching,
but it's heavy.
Show, like watching television as escape, because I think that I don't know, sometimes I get wrapped up in the acting or the plot, like, and I absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Do you like? Can I ask you questions?
Yeah.
I don't like scary movies. I've never liked scary movies because it's not entertaining for me to watch something where someone's in the basement saying, "Have you checked the children?" That's going to stick with me for the rest of the night. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you, do you like scary movies?
No. And,
okay. B, it was obviously very, very different. Scary Movie was a comedy, but it's very, very different. Did you have to do a lot of research about scary movies doing that movie?
I should have. But
okay.
I didn't.
Okay.
But I did convince myself at times, this was how naive I was, that because I would work myself up, like running away from the killer, because I had that was the first comedy I'd done,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't really done that much at all. But I grew up doing like dramatic
mm-hmm.
stuff in Seattle, and so I would work myself up to a place where I felt terrified. Running away from this spoof, like dude in a whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, in fact, I remember telling a journalist that something along the lines of like, oh, this movie has it all. It's funny, but it's also scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then like reflecting upon that, being like,
yeah,
like,
well, it had some truth in it because it was scary at points and funny at points.
I was just, but working myself up to, like feeling frightened.
Oh yeah.
Like to being like earnest as an actor.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Which I don't know. I feel foolish recounting that idea, but I do remember like racing down fake hallways and being. Like, how's he gonna fucking get me?
Yeah.
But
there's so
Cindy Campbell cannot die tonight.
There's just so much, because yours were fun. There's so much fear in society. I don't get the idea of sitting in a room watching a screen and getting more terrified. Because some people can separate and be like, that was funny.
Right.
I leave and I'm like, someone's after me.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
I'm with you. And I think that actually, I don't know if this is completely related, but it might be. I think that's why I like documentaries and mm-hmm. I like podcasts because there's more of an escape to a degree in realism in like mm-hmm. in things that are outside of the industry that scare me sometimes.
Sure.
But I take an odd comfort in escaping through, like a bigger world events
mm-hmm.
that don't involve like what role I didn't get like the industry shit because I'm
totally
sorry, like
have you seen Three Identical Strangers?
No, but everyone was
so good.
It's so good and it's surprising. It starts off one way and just unfolds and unfolds and unfolds. It's really good.
How the fuck did we do it? Because I don't know anything about it, but mm-hmm. 1950s, right? America.
No, it was. I think it was a 70s.
Yeah.
70s.
Yeah.
That's even more depressing.
To the present, but it's like since it kind of goes back in their life and they were born in the 70s.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's intense, but so good. So
good. Where do we get it?
I think it's all over now.
Yeah.
You can get it on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're not promoting it though.
Yeah,
We are. We are gonna.
That was the business mind. He just took a nap and then he woke up, and he was like, "We're not going to say whatever thing you can stream it on,
unless they pay us."
Exactly.
But we are going to say that because I just don't want you to forget that he is in a series of unfortunate events on Netflix, and Netflix actually is a sponsor, so I can say that too.
Do you feel like? Would you
that
like
children's
to do...
show I did is coming out on Netflix too.
Well, that's what I is that what I just promoted?
Oh, the series of unfortunate events. You're right. That's they're both on.
Oh, they're both on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
It's coming out on Netflix.
Anyways. Oh, it's not out yet.
No. Anyways, not to plug.
You guys done?
This was a really gross conversation.
Okay, do you want to do deal breakers or an improv?
I don't know what deal breakers is, so that sounds fun.
You have to imagine that you're single. Or we could do both.
Well, let's do deal breakers first. That sounds fun. Yeah.
All right. Deal breakers. You imagine that you're single.
Okay.
I don't want to press you on your private life. I mean, I do.
Sure, you can.
But I won't. Well.
I'm married 16 years, and I have a 13-year-old daughter, and they're amazing.
And
we're from the South.
Guys. Live on a small island.
We live on a small island and we helicopter there. That's right. That's right. We do a 6-hour plane ride for dinner every night. Yeah. And we have really great family time on the plane.
Lobster again.
Again? No butter this time.
Oh, what? Just margins.
Margins. That made me think of that new ghee butter.
Oh yeah, ghee. It's not new.
It's not. Well, it seems to be. It's having a moment.
It sounds like it's something. It's Indian. It sounds Indian because I think my mom used ghee.
What the fuck?
What?
You just betrayed your fucking ass right now. Oh, it sounds like it's Indian. Like you don't fucking know what ghee is. Fuck you. And I'm sorry to swear this intensely.
Tony, are you listening to this child?
By the way, there's another.
But this
sweet little
she's
baby.
Yelling at me because she thinks I should know what ghee is.
No. I'm yelling at you because I know that you know what ghee is. And you're a fucking jerk right now. Tell our dear listeners.
Is this fair, Tony? Is this fair at all?
Well,
Tony, that you know exactly what the fuck.
So is your ghee has is. Your mother butter. Has your mother baked with ghee since you
yes,
were?
Yes, she has.
Further?
Yep.
I'm assuming so, maybe.
Yes. And you know this because
my God.
She might
because
be using
she
normal
cooked
butter
for me.
Because she was using the butter from the store.
Oh my God.
I don't think they had like Trader Joe's back then or like any of the specialty places where you can buy
but
ghee.
No. You're distracting. You're saying you're like, "Oh, I don't know where we can find ghee," instead of being like, "I don't know what ghee is. I think I sort of do." Fuck you. You know exactly what ghee is. It's clarified butter.
Yeah, clarified butter. That's right. So you can get that anywhere, right?
Can you break that down for me? What does clarified butter mean?
It means you separate like the fats from like the dairy fats from like the from the
whatever base it is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's like you remove some like of the I want to say pigment, but that's incorrect. But
oils?
Like the white business.
The fat.
No, but it still has fat in it.
Uh-huh. Because it's having a big moment now because of all the diets.
Listen, are you trying to protect Sim by distracting me?
Well, here's the deal.
Because
I don't like
tension.
I
don't want you to protect him.
And there's a four-month-old in the room.
Yeah, who's going to know what ghee is.
People might not think babies' environments are important
going to know what
at this
ghee
age.
Is.
I tend to disagree.
Oh, my God. I hope think you're, I'm going to send this episode to your
way,
mom, and she will be like, fuck you, Sim.
Words are important.
Exactly what ghee is. Words are important.
Words
sorry,
are important.
That's right. Maybe I'm not a word one.
You know what? That could be that baby's love language, and you might be really messing things up now.
If I'm not a word one, what is my love language?
Well, actually, your love language tends to be what you get, like, I like to encourage. So typically what you give is what your love language that you like to receive. So do you like to, are you affectionate? Do you give gifts?
Nope.
Are you acts of service?
No.
Quality time? Do you like spending time?
Yes. I'm a good quality. Like when I will say that, which is why I don't get back to anybody, because I do feel like when I'm with somebody, I want to give them my full attention.
Yeah. So your quality time is probably one of yours.
Oh, I am generous.
And then, and then probably words.
except to Sam. He doesn't get your love. And clearly now, neither does the baby now.
He totally does, though. He knows that when I talk to him about familiarity, that he knows that I'm saying, I love you. But it comes out
as maybe he should
practice
that on his baby. Yeah. You're teaching him that.
Gee.
He has your own special.
Don't you pretend like, well, I'm not quite sure what gee is.
I didn't say it quite like that.
You said...
We'll play back the tape.
Okay, but it was... That was,
I see what you're saying.
Yes.
I didn't, I should have, but I didn't come across as confident. Okay, anyway, continue. We have to get to the deal.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. We'll fight I later. Love it. Are you kidding? Just okay. Reminds me of home.
Tony, okay. So imagine that you're single.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a deal breaker? Mm-hmm. She likes to smell your shoes after you go for a run.
Okay. Yeah.
Why?
That's just odd. There's an oddness to that, and I know we're trying to be in a society to not be judgmental, and I don't want it to be taken as judgment.
But there's sweat is really sweet.
And like, we're not talking just sweat; we're talking like, foot sweat.
Yeah, but
and foot sweat is a little bit of a deal.
Foot sweat is like maybe you run so frequently.
Let me just break it down. If it's if it's her baby's shoes, I'll smell a baby's shoes till the end of the day. If it's an older, mature person's tennis shoes that they just ran in, it's just a different story.
I'm going to give you a baby after you leave. There's one right there.
I know, but I'll smell that baby's feet.
Okay, she calls your penis Tony the Tiger?
Sure, that's not a deal breaker. I think that's kind of endearing. And it's Tiger. Yeah, it's
okay, but what like, if she does
it's
it
It's not like,
Tony
the Possum or something like
that. It's not Tony the Tiger. Tiger. I don't know. Maybe that's sexy. It kind of is actually coming out of my.
Well, like surely it would be like.
I can't say a word that does not sound sexy.
I'm sure there's a couple you could say that doesn't say sexy.
Nope.
Okay.
Give me one. Give me one and I'll make it sexy.
Okay. I'm going to say bratwurst.
Bratwurst.
Okay.
See?
Sure. That was.
Thank you.
That was one of those EMR things on YouTube where you could do one of those mic things where you soothe people
really?
With your voice, and that they like, and they like, they talk really softly and they say, "Hey, it's time to go to bed."
Yeah.
It's a whole subculture. Oh, hi, Angel. Hi. I know you're disturbed
Tony?
By Anna's language today, aren't you?
Tony, you yes. Focus back now.
Okay.
Okay. She only likes to have sex if she can handcuff you?
That's a deal breaker. Because that, to me, that comes from some childhood pain. There's something
no,
rooted
no, no. She, what if she just got like rejected from a local law enforcement? Like,
I don't know. There's something rooted in that. It makes me think of, you know, like this whole 50 Shades of Grey thing. And everybody's like, oh, that's brave. And that's, man, that's dangerous. And you're so brave. Here's the thing. You know what's brave is a committed relationship. Intimacy is scary. Vulnerability is scary. Not getting a red room or like handcuffing
like
people.
Like things
that's
that
not
are
brave.
Not exciting are brave. You're completely right.
But that's not brave. That's not brave if you're walking around in leather.
You know what I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Like, you know, living till you're 93, that's brave.
That's brave. And working on it and, like, you know, talking and communicating, that's brave. Not easy.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Boring but brave. Our new segment.
Just keep bringing me back as a guest. Here's Tony again, boring but brave.
Boring but brave.
And I just lost
Let's
a million listeners. Weird.
Let's talk about grocery shopping.
Oh God, I got so many topics on that. I do love Trader Joe's.
Let's talk about dry cleaning.
No, it's not as exciting. But grocery store shopping, I get so much joy from going to the grocery store.
Oh,
I love
you love a Jozo's.
I love a Jozo's. I love
they
walking in Trader Joe's.
Crunchier than Cheerios.
Are they?
Oh yeah, they are.
No.
Yes, they are. You do a taste test. That's boring but brave.
Guess what I'm doing tonight with the family on our flight to Maine.
Okay, she raises ferrets for a living?
No, that's not a deal breaker.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of sweet. I would ask a lot of questions.
Like what?
Why ferrets? And
they're very friendly.
Yeah. And what drew her to ferrets?
Well, they.
Do you know much about ferrets?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, not much.
Not much.
But we had one growing up.
Did you really?
Yes.
What was its name?
Francis. Thank you.
My dog's name is Francis.
It's a great name.
Walter and Francis are our dog's name. Yeah. Names.
Yeah. Wait, I like all things.
Did you wash the ferret?
No. I was 9.
Okay.
9-year-olds don't, they commit to things, but they don't actually follow through.
Okay, so did you ever take
another F word?
Did you ever take the ferret to the veterinarian or get
him?
No, that was fine. You just let him out loose.
Oh yeah.
Did you hold the ferret?
Oh yeah.
Really? Oh, did you dress the ferret up?
No. Oh, should have.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford doll clothes for the ferret. Oh.
Well, nowadays with All American Girl, you'd be set.
Yeah. Well,
how many ferrets did you have?
Oh, just one ferret, Francis.
Just Francis.
Yeah.
Were your parents supportive of Francis?
Oh yeah, mom got Francis. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What your mom got you Francis? She didn't want a dog.
She didn't get me Francis. She got herself Francis.
Really? So yes. It was your mom who loved the ferret.
Wow. Yeah. That's how it always happens.
No, that is.
It's like
true.
When your kids get to a certain age,
right?
Let's say 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
Then suddenly your mom is like, "Oh, I gotta have another baby. You're a pet."
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "You are going to take care of it." And as kids, you're like, "Yeah, of course."
Yeah.
But deep down somewhere in my mom's brain, she knew.
You're not taking care of it. I'm taking care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she still pushed it. And we were like, a ferret. Like,
I love Francis
the
ferret.
The one animal that we get.
That's an animated series.
Yay. Francis the ferret. At least we have an animal. Yeah. That we won't take care of. Oh, God.
How long did Francis live?
Oh, Frances was such a, she was such a good ferret. They do have, Frances lived for many, many years.
Did people
years.
Think that she was a large rat?
No. But the thing about ferrets is that they are really affectionate and they're very needy. They're very sweet. Do you know any ferrets?
No, but I get the sense they're like a stole where they just kind of wrap around your neck.
They are. Yeah. We had snakes and tarantulas and piranhas. Ooh,
okay, now we turned a corner.
I know.
Because I was with you on the ferret. Spiders. Ooh. That scene in... Is it Raiders of the Lost Ark when he's in the... No, that's the snakes. There's some scene I saw recently where someone was covered in spiders.
Yeah, it's both. It's a combo.
Gosh,
yeah.
Darn it. Spiders terrify me.
In the same movie.
Oh, okay.
Spiders.
My wife hates snakes, but spiders, man. And it's hairy spiders.
Why?
I don't know, but any of those kind of movies where they pop out... Oh, what was the one... one of the Harry Potters when he was in the forest and all of a sudden the spider came out of the cave. Damn it. It just sent chills down my spine. There's something about a spider that's terrifying.
Why? Is it the...
What if I was ritualistically abused by spiders?
Well, that would be it. Like a reason. But
I will say this. My sister, who I adore, she also did not like spiders. And I wonder if
Is she older?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
And
yep,
I do. Yep. I think it's that might have passed down. Because my wife's mother was terrified of snakes and she's terrified of snakes.
My mom had a relative, an older relative, who told her, don't you pass your fear of insects onto your kids. And she didn't.
Oh, yeah?
And my brother and I are both like, well, what's this? Like,
oh,
and took pride, unnatural pride maybe, in being like, I'm going to handle this bee. Or, and like, all right, like this, look, I'm going to, like, you know, whatever. Like, we took pride in it because other kids were shocked
mm-hmm.
by, like, our love of creepy things.
Mm-hmm. So it never, did you have a lot of snakes and a lot of spiders in your home?
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, did the snake ever get out?
Oh, all the time. Did the snake... The snakes were getting out all the time. All the time.
Did you ever just fall asleep and go, well, snake might get out tonight and strangle me?
No, because the snake loved me.
Yeah, you say that.
No, that snake loved. There were multiple snakes that loved me.
God.
We would take them for walks.
First of all, I'm just picturing a ferret, a snake, and a spider in a walk down the neighborhood. Yeah, a
couple of piranhas.
That's full on the Addams Family.
Yeah, we had scorpions. We had a 10-foot boa constrictor.
God.
We had so many snakes. We had these beautiful green, and the garage smelled like nothing you could imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Imagine.
And what did you feed those snakes?
Like a catacomb. Like circa.
Well, it's like a history museum.
Let's do, I don't know, 890 BC.
Yeah. Okay. I got the year in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a catacomb.
Jesus hasn't come yet. Got it.
And let's say the catacomb workers are getting a little, sure, little sloppy.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So,
you don't have the good lighting that you have at a zoo and all the good air conditioning and stuff.
Yes, the fragrance is like, I don't want to linger.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was our garage.
And you had to pick up all that droppings and poop and all that stuff?
Yeah. Oof. Oh, God.
That's a lot, man.
But it was so good for me because I have such an appreciation
do you have snakes and spiders in your home today?
Yeah, she has like the best insect collection in Hollywood.
Do you really?
I think so.
Thank you.
I haven't seen many. I don't think you might have the only one, actually.
Oh, wow.
Well, but they're not alive.
Yeah, they're all, what are they called?
Taxidermied? Look at you. You are like a fucking koala, dude. What the fuck is wrong with you? What are they called? You went to fucking school. Jesus.
I didn't know you can taxidermy insects. I thought you can only taxidermy.
No, listen. Yeah. I could taxidermy your eyeballs right now.
So you have how many insects frozen on a wall, would you say?
Quite a bit.
Wow. Yeah. Do you have also jewelry?
Will you come over?
Yeah, I'd love to. Do you also have jewelry, like insect jewelry with like stones? You know, that kind of cool, seen that jewelry?
No. No, will you give me something like that?
Mm. A wrap gift is coming. Oh, what's your favorite stone?
Oh, go on. Okay, oh. Another deal breaker. Would you date an actress on show?
Would I date an actress?
Yes. Would you date an actress, though?
Would I date an actress? Yeah, I date an actress. Would you date a actor who's in theater? Would you date a Broadway actor?
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Because that schedule is rough.
See, Broadway scares the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah. I the idea, because I don't know how I could transform, like, I don't know how I could make each night stimulating, like, upon, like, whatever, like,
you mean
50.
Broadway, doing it,
yeah,
performing, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, somebody who does, I'm worried that there would be the bravado. I don't know. What do you think, Tony?
I think it would be more scheduling, sorry, especially if you had a fan, but like, they make it work. But it's definitely like they're doing the same show every night. That's hard.
And
if it's intense theater, if it's like intense drama theater, that's tough to come down off of, I would think, every night.
What's been your longest theater run?
Oh, I mean, I did like way off Broadway, way off. So it was maybe like a weekend was probably the longest run.
I adore you because you know where I thought you were going to go.
I did Hello Dolly for 5 years in Times Square.
83 performances.
Me
of
and Channing.
wait, can we do one quick?
Yeah,
quick
and then can you? Are you okay for time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tony.
Yeah.
Your agents.
My agents.
That's
what we are.
No.
Oh, okay.
Have sent you on a general.
Okay.
With the CEO of Imaginarium Studios.
Karen Imaginary, Imagine Television, you mean?
Imaginarium Studios.
Oh, it's a I got it. It's a made up. Okay. I'm with you. I'm tracking. Uh-huh. Got it. Keys fell out.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Karen Sarducci.
Sorry?
Karen Sarducci. We'll get into it.
Okay. All right. Is this a...
Hi, I'm Donovan. How are you?
Hey, Donovan.
Nice, so nice to meet you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
Karen is expecting you.
Is he
Are you
here?
Ready to meet? He is here now. First of all, can I get you anything to drink before you meet Karen?
No, I'd love a water, actually.
Here is a water for you.
Thank you so much.
And here is Karen Sarducci, meet Tony Hill.
Hey, oh Karen, my God. It's so nice to meet you.
Hi, Tony. I'm such a big fan.
That's so nice. Thank you
so
much.
And I love it that you have like an easy name to remember.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of, it used to be Anthony as a kid, and then I changed it to Tony when I was in middle school.
The only trouble is like Gary,
Yeah.
But because both end in a Y, right. So that was a little bit
that's
difficult
tough
for me. But,
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Did Donovan get you a cold? Did you want a room temperature?
Did you want cold or room temperature?
Oh,
I didn't
I'd love
ask you.
Room temperature.
Yeah, okay,
Donovan,
I gave you cold. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm
no.
Sorry.
We'll do room temperature.
You're very loud right now.
Oh, here's
very
room
loud.
Temperature. No, I won't make the mistake again, Karen. I'm really sorry.
How long has Donovan been working with you?
It's 14 years.
I thought it was like 3 months or something.
Oh, wow.
She said she'd promote me at some point to development executive, but I've been
an
assistant
for
14 years.
Donovan, shut the fuck up.
Oh. Can I ask Donovan why you stay in the, why you stay
no,
here?
No, you can't.
She
sorry,
she
Gary,
said she was
going
to promote me to
I have another meeting after this, so.
Creative executive.
Oh, we just need
you're
to kind of get
right.
to the chest.
That's right, that's right. I appreciate you taking this meeting. I know it's been a long time we've been trying to do this.
Oh, well, that's fine.
I think it's actually been 5 times, and like 4 of them you're very busy and you had to cancel, so thank you for sacrificing.
It's funny, I rarely get compliments. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you have beautiful eyes.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Do you get your eyes from your mother or your father?
My mother was always famous for, they called her Old Blue Eyes.
I can see that.
And she had this pony.
This ponytail. Oh, this pony
a pony,
horse.
Yeah, it was named Caroline.
Oh, sweet.
It had these big blue eyes, which is unusual for...
Very unusual. That's right out of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, you like that show?
I don't. They pushed a kid out the window in the first episode and it freaked me out.
Oh, but it wasn't that bad. He lived.
He did live,
and
he
became a clairvoyant.
Yeah. But they were just not kind to the wolves, and it just kind of upset me.
Ah, really?
Yeah. But I know you did that show, so... I have huge admiration for the amount of money and time and commitment that you put into it.
I just wish you would have stuck in there.
I know. You know. I did. I wanted to audition. What's the guy's name who had his hand cut off?
Jamie. Yummy, I wanted to call him because he's yummy.
Yummy. Yeah. Did you give everybody a nickname on the show?
Well.
What was the blonde's name?
Truthfully.
Ursula? They're
all.
Oh, they're overpaid.
Listen, I don't want to get into it.
I know.
Tony, it's really nice to meet you.
It's nice to
meet
you.
And thank you for complimenting my eyes.
Wow, how could you not?
No one has ever done that before. And
they're piercing.
Thank you for that.
Jesus had piercing eyes.
Did he?
Yeah. I'm a person of faith, and I've never seen him face to face, but I've heard.
But you've seen pictures.
I've seen pictures, and his eyes are piercing. Yes.
I wouldn't call them piercing. I would call them kind, benevolent, sort of unfocused.
Yes, soothing, but they can see right through you, those kind of
eyes. Yeah. Like I know if you're bad or good.
Yes. Yes, probably Santa does too.
Yeah. No, Tony, you are quite a charmer.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, so here's... So I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, that's very kind.
No, I am. You are very, very funny.
Oh, thanks so much.
You're very funny. I don't know, like, I doubt that you can probably do serious things because most funny people, just like the crossovers, like, no, can't do that.
Really? But there's a lot of examples of people doing Steve Carell does.
No. Please don't.
Yeah.
Listen, we've tried it before. It does not work.
Okay. Do you always bring your baby to work?
That's not my baby.
Oh, that's not your baby.
Nope.
But it's in your
office.
I had
those eggs removed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So why is the baby lying on your desk?
Donovan, why the fuck is the baby?
Well, you said that I can bring my baby to work, and then I brought the baby to work.
Donovan, when did you have sex?
Oh, well, I don't know if he needs to share that with you. Clearly, though, plus 4 months ago.
Gary, I wanted to pitch to you a couple of movies.
Please.
Okay.
Great.
Get the Donovan.
Get the baby out of the way. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I wanted to pitch to you.
Okay. I love that you're pitching me. That's very nice.
Oh, well.
It's very nice.
I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, man. I don't think I've ever had an executive that's your level to pitch me ideas.
Oh, no, please.
That's so nice.
Please. It's
right.
like... But because we are such huge fans.
Wow.
Here at Imaginarium. So we own the rights to the man behind the flag.
The man behind the flag.
Which is the Betsy Ross story.
Okay. Oh, sure. Okay.
We already have Reese as
okay.
Betsy.
Sure. Okay.
Bryan Cranston is her first husband. And we're really hoping that you would be the inspiration, second husband.
When you say inspiration, do you mean an inspiration for the person that would be playing the character? Or the
We've already been inspired by other writers.
I see. So would I, do you want me to play, when you say you want me to be the inspiration, do you mean?
The husband. The man behind the flag.
Okay. And what is, how would you describe the man?
The man behind the flag?
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Well, yeah. I mean, I want you to have your own take on it.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I will say, as a feminist.
Yes, of course.
One of our early, as women were educated in America,
yeah.
One of our early inspirational figures was Betsy Ross.
Mm,
And she sewed a flag like nobody's business in a rocking chair, apparently. Mm-hmm. And it was circular at the time.
Oh, really?
It was.
When did they make it rectangle?
Well, not quite sure. Donovan, will you get on that?
Thank I'll look it up.
Totally.
Anyway, but the man, so we want sort of the man behind the flag, like who
gave her the idea,
stimulated Betsy to like,
oh, wow.
You know, to create a flag that
that went rectangle. Was,
no, she was circular.
Wait, so it was, you're saying the flag.
I'm sorry, Tony, did you not know that?
I did not know.
You don't know the history of our flag.
That it was originally circular?
Originally it was circular. It was.
Wow.
And it was from American cotton.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And dye that was harvested from grapes. And,
oh my God, she worked hard.
Oh.
And blueberries for the blue.
Are you kidding? Yeah, Reese is attached.
Yeah, I know. You keep saying that.
And
that's a great name. How does Reese feel about the man behind the flag? What is her take on how he served her?
Well, she's just like, oh, you know, I hope it goes down on me. Well, and I'm like, sure. Oh, yeah, no problem.
And is that coming from historical evidence that there was a man behind the flag servicing Betsy Ross?
There's always a man behind the flag.
Oh, okay.
Always.
Would you say flag is kind of metaphorical, like it's not necessarily the flag?
Oh my God, Tony!
I'm getting too deep.
Can I tell you something?
Please.
I actually thought you'd be grateful to take this meeting.
Oh no! Let me tell you right now, I cannot be more grateful. I just want to give you.
So if I told you that I wanted you to wrap your cock in the original American flag sewn by Betsy Ross, would you do that or
no,
not?
No, I would not. I got to be honest, I would not do it.
What if you did it for $13 million?
Not worth it. It's not worth my peace of mind wrapping my business around the flag, the American flag. It's just not. No amount of money is worth it.
Donovan, get fuck out of here.
That wasn't in the script. Why would he
is
do
that? Something that you,
no,
it was
here,
just you inspired in our conversation
thing.
For me to do?
I just need you to.
How is that part of the
character? I need Tony to tell me what he would do or not do for a role. To work with Imaginarium is to be at the pinnacle of your fucking career.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would love to serve a story. What I'm curious about is if wrapping my penis in the American flag, as Donovan said, is in the script, and if going down
how
Betsy
else is Rutt, Betsy going to love it?
I just don't know if
she
that's
wants
a script
a
that would be greenlit. Oh, really? That's the original Pigs in a Blanket. Where that's where that came from.
Yes, that's right. Ching, ching, ching.
Oh, my gosh. She should have,
trademarked
that stuff.
Yeah. She could have done a lot more.
She really could have.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, just to break it down a little bit, you're telling me that in this script, the man behind the flag's penis needs to be wrapped in the flag, and he's going down on Betsy Ross. So that's a part of the script that you guys have greenlit. Is that what I'm hearing?
I am telling you, perversion has happened.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful perversion.
I completely agree.
Has happened for centuries.
Absolutely.
And was a part of the founding of our country.
I'm just kind of curious the broader story that we're talking about here. And not just these moments of satisfaction.
you may have been jealous when,
sure,
you know, Betsy got a lot of attention.
Sure.
For like,
and just in an act of rebellion, I just wrapped my penis around the flag.
And, you know, Benji and George and,
sure,
John, sure, they were all like, oh, sure, Betsy, great job.
Well, you know what I can, okay, do? I can, do you go down on Betsy? That's what I said,
right,
to them.
That's right.
Wow, that's, and, just, I'm really like, interested. Oh, who wrote, did you write this script?
I'm writing, well, I didn't know. I am not a writer.
No.
I'm not a writer.
Of course not, of course not.
She pretty much wrote the script.
You
fuck
wrote
you,
the Donovan, script.
No, I did not. But it's a story of feminism.
It sounds,
and
like,
the man behind the feminism. Man, so it's man, like, man, reverse. It's like,
okay,
it's like, you know how they always say, like, behind every strong man is some good, smart woman-y,
yeah,
type,
yeah, sure,
or whatever.
Sure, sure, sure.
But this is like the opposite, but tripled.
But tripled.
It's like, behind every strong woman, there is a strong man,
uh-huh,
who behind that
is another seamstress who actually made the flag. You know?
That's not a bad idea.
You know what? I think that might actually have some,
ooh,
more depth,
Sophia,
than just seeing me rap.
The little cousin.
Oh, she is
Sophia
sneaky.
Ross.
Actually, I wouldn't say she's sneaky. I'd say Betsy Ross is sneaky, because it's like a ghost seamstress that she's got.
I just want like the creaking of the rocking chair.
Which the niece would do.
Yep. Fuck yes.
Because she's not about to push her ankle down that.
I knew I was right to call you in for a meeting.
That's right. You're welcome. It sounds like a $13 million idea. I'm telling you right now. She's a